Man on the moon. Those were the astonishing words Walter Cronkite spoke on July 20th, 1969, as the nation watched Neil Armstrong and the crew of Apollo 11 become the first men to land on the moon. How many of you remember that event? How many were not born before this event happened here? Another half of the congregation. So for us from my generation, this is an incredible feat. Shortly after landing, Neil Armstrong opened the hatch of the lunar module and said, as he stepped on the surface of the moon, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." He was the first human being to leave footprints on the moon. I wonder if they're still there. This was one of the greatest events in the history of mankind. No one had ever done this before. For centuries, the thought of doing this was only a dream. Men lay in the fields looking up at the stars and the moon, imagining what it would be like for thousands and thousands of years. In 2 days, our Christian brothers and sisters around the world will acknowledge and celebrate the birth of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, arguably the greatest event in the history of mankind. The arrival of the long-awaited promised one occurred, and the Jewish people were the only people group on the earth that even knew of a Messiah. Think of it. For thousands and thousands of years, the Jewish people were the only ones who knew of a Redeemer who would come to bring salvation and peace to the world. No other nation or culture or people group on earth knew of Adonai or his word. Think about it. Nobody else even knew that a Messiah was coming. The millions and millions of people. As we all know, the Jewish religious establishment of the first century did not accept Yeshua as Messiah, which set the trajectory of the Jewish people that continues to this day. Though steadfastly refusing to accept Yeshua as the Messiah, then and now, the Jewish people still hold to a belief in the Messiah. In fact, it is one of Maimonides' 13 principles of faith. The 12th principle reads, "I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Messiah. And even though he may tarry, nonetheless I wait every day for his coming." In a book entitled The Messiah Texts, a Jewish scholar named Raphael Patai collected and analyzed statements about the Messiah taken from across the spectrum of Jewish literature. Here is one that he said, one of his comments. "The Talmudic term denoting the events which precede the coming of the Redeemer is Ikvod HaMashiach, literally, footprints of the Messiah. This is most significant because the Messianic Advent is the only event in history which, although it has not yet come to pass, has left its footprints in advance in the soul of a people and thereby shaped and sustained it." The footprints are inside Jewish people, I believe. Just as there are footprints on the moon today, so there are footprints in the scriptures leading to the inevitable truth that Yeshua is the Messiah, the long-awaited and promised Redeemer of Israel. We believe there are footprints in the souls and spirits of Jewish people that can lead them to faith in Messiah. These footprints are the remnants of scriptures, faith in God, and wisdom passed down through the generations. These footprints lie dormant in the soul, awaiting the proper means of awakening that will lead to a recognition and faith in Messiah, Yeshua. That's what we will be hoping for next week. What Rabbi Aaron just mentioned about people coming, Jewish people, interested, curious for some reason, these footprints are in their soul and their spirit, hoping to lead them to the Messiah, Yeshua. This is what we all long for, and I believe a foundational assumption in Messianic Judaism. The title of my message today is The Promise Proclaimed. The Promise Proclaimed, and two texts or just two verses that scriptures that kind of set the tone for us here are about how blessed we are. We read in the Hebrews chapter 11 the whole story of all the great heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Toward the end, Paul says, "Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced cheers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. And these were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. None of these saints received what had been promised, the Messiah. We read again in Matthew 13, 16 through 17, Yeshua says, but blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. How many desired to hear about Messiah but didn't hear it, never received the promise? My theme today is to challenge us to fully embrace, celebrate, and proclaim the birth of Messiah Yeshua. So I'd therefore like to develop this theme by looking at three supernatural proclamations found in Luke chapter 2 made about Yeshua's arrival and their application to the Jewish people. So the three proclamations come from, first, the angels, secondly, from Simeon, and thirdly, from Anna. So let's turn in our Bibles. Of course, everybody brings their Bible with them to services, right? Because you never know when the Lord might give you a prophetic word. And then, you know, the Lord said, I want you to read John chapter 10, verse 11, and you don't have your Bible, and you'd be in trouble with the Lord that day because if you didn't have your Bible with you, right? So, or your cell phone that has the Bible on it, right? And we're not looking at text messages or emails or anything like that, right? We're on our cell phones, we're always looking at the scripture that we have on there from our Bible programs, right, Rabbi Mike? What's the score of the game? Anybody got it? Sorry. So Luke chapter 2, this is the story many of us are very familiar with. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. What an incredible scene. Can you imagine if you were one of those shepherds that got to see this? I can't imagine if all the glory of all these multitude of angels appeared, how that wouldn't have affected the whole area and the whole region. That would be like an eclipse or something, you know, like that, I would think, unless it was just for some reason they were the only ones who could see it, that God just revealed it to them. That probably is what happened. Well, this is an unprecedented event that happened here. There are other miraculous stories, birth stories in the scriptures, and Aaron referred to that earlier today. And sometimes there are angelic presences involved. Like if we look at our first one here, the next slide, like when Isaac was born, Sarah and Abraham, an angelic presence, God told them that he was going to have a child at some point. An angel told Abraham that. When Jacob and Esau were born, Rachel or Rebekah had been barren, but Isaac prayed for his wife, and she had been barren for years and years, and then he prayed for her miraculously, and she had the twins. And when Joseph was born, it was the firstborn of Rachel, you know, Jacob's his wife, and he prayed for her, and she had been barren for many, many years. But again, it was just God's mercy upon her to have it. Samson was born to his mother, and Manoah and his wife, they're told by an angel that he's going to have a baby. And Samuel, when he was born, his mother was Hannah. Hannah also had been barren for many, many years and was barren and came before the priest and prayed, and God heard her prayer. And Elizabeth, we know, had her child, John the Immerser, John the Baptist, and when his father Zechariah, an angel appeared to him in the temple and proclaimed that a birth was coming. So a couple of times we see an angel came and told them about it, but most of the time it was just through prayer and supplications before the Lord. But there are no accounts of an angelic host appearing before the whole community there to announce the coming of the Messiah. No appearance like this ever in Scripture. So let's look at the different messages. The first is from the first angel who appears to them. And he says a threefold message. Number one, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all peoples. For all peoples. He's just telling us that these shepherds down here are like the scum of society at the time. Many think that the sheep that they're keeping may have been for the temple sacrifices there, because Bethlehem is just basically 5 miles or so from Jerusalem. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Messiah the Lord. And thirdly, this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And we read later that Jews require a sign. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby there. They must have gone from place to place looking for a baby and found one in a feeding trough, is what the manger really is. It's not like the building, it's just the feeding trough. They had no other place to lay him, so they laid him there. It'd be like a crib. Good tidings of great joy to all peoples. That's the first angel. Then the heavenly host appears and starts singing. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And again, a threefold message. Glory to God in the highest. Why? Because the Messiah had come. The long-awaited promise from God. The Messiah is coming, so that brings glory to God. The Messiah has come. And on earth, peace, because the Messiah has come. He's bringing peace, the Prince of Peace. He can bring inner peace to us if we accept him. And finally, and goodwill toward men. The Messiah offers goodwill to all peoples on earth if they will receive him. Now, there's some controversy over the possible translation of this verse. More than your modern translations tend to say, in peace to men of goodwill. This is what you see in most modern translations. And I was reading one theology book about it. It said that this controversy is influenced by one single letter that some early manuscripts have and some later manuscripts don't have. One single letter that is somehow influencing how you view this. But personally, I think the Messiah has come universally, and so it was goodwill to all men if you would receive him, not just to a select group, men of goodwill. Only the men who have goodwill are going to receive peace. It's available to all men. That's my personal opinion of that. But this is also a very Jewish message as well, because it fulfills the scriptures and prophecies about the Messiah. From creation, we read in Genesis 3:15, Adam and Eve, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This is early, even Jewish scholars believe this is a reference to the Messiah who would come. The seed of the woman would be the Messiah who would come eventually. It would crush the head of Satan. And then we know also are so familiar with the story of Abraham, how that all the nations of the world would be blessed through him. In Genesis 12:1-3, we read, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on the earth are going to be blessed through you. We just read the angel said, this is for all people, this message. This fulfills so many scriptures that speak of the prophesy of the Messiah, from Deuteronomy 18 to Isaiah 9, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 53, Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, on and on and on we go. This is the fulfillment of those prophecies that the Messiah has come and is born. All these events occur in Israel, all involving Jewish people. The angel says, in the city of David, which is in Bethlehem, a Savior who was born in Bethlehem in Israel. No other people in the world knew about this event except the Jewish people. I've been dying to do this ever since they put up this banner here, so I'm sorry, forgive me. But you know, if you just look at it this way, Jewish, 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 Bethlehem, Israel, Jewish sheep, Jewish sheep, Jewish camel here, angels. It's all Jewish, but it's not seen as Jewish by the world today. The Jewish community doesn't see it as Jewish. They're all Jews. And you drive through the neighborhoods and see all the blow-up balloon things. If you see a manger scene, they're Jews. They've got blown up people of Jewish people. We don't see it that way. We're just blind to it. So we've looked at the first proclamation here from the angels, a supernatural explanation. It comes from God through the angels first. And then secondly, we see this beautiful story of Simeon when Yeshua is brought to the temple as a babe. We read in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 35. Sorry, this is a long scripture here, but I think it's a beautiful story worth listening to again. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yeshua, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Yeshua to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Miriam, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Who is this Simeon? He's not a priest. He's not a Pharisee or Sadducee that we're aware of. Seemed to be just an average old guy who was hanging around there in Jerusalem, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And he gives another threefold description of the Messiah, a threefold description of who he was. He's just and devout. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Just an average guy, but filled with the Holy Spirit. But revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. And then he's led by the Spirit into the temple, led by the Spirit. He goes, today, go over there, just go in there. Where he meets Joseph, Miriam, and the baby. Again, unprecedented. Strangers are not involved in any other stories of miraculous births and other stories that we are aware of. Other births have the priests involved to a degree, but nothing like this, really. So what is the message he proclaims about this Messiah? He picks up the baby and says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Threefold message again. Your salvation has been prepared before the face of all people. It's a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, again to all peoples. And finally, end with the glory of your people Israel. This is a Jewish message again, because this is all occurring in the temple. Yeshua has already been circumcised on the 8th day. That's only required of Jewish men. And then he comes back to the temple to fulfill the redemption of the firstborn, Pidyon Haben, where there's a redeemed, or you would pay a certain price and bring a sacrifice. And because they were poor, they were bringing 2 pigeons or turtle doves is what they brought. Joseph and Miriam. He comes to Jerusalem in the temple, and the Messiah will bring a light to revelation to the Gentiles, fulfilling the prophecies made to Eve and to Abraham that we read earlier. Your seed will crush the head of the serpent. And you will, in Abraham's seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. We see this all coming together in the birth of the Messiah. And then finally, these incredible words to me, and for the glory of your people, Israel. Has that happened yet? Do the people of Israel see this as glory, bringing them glory, that the Messiah has come? For all peoples of the world to be come to know him, do they recognize it's for their glory too as part of the prophecy? They don't see it yet. Yeshua's birth, life, death, resurrection, 2,000 years of history, has that brought glory to Israel? It's supposed to have. And in God's eyes, I think it has. He sees differently than we do on earth. But it's for the glory of the people of Israel. The coming of the Messiah brings glory to them because it's through that group, people group, that he brought salvation to the world. So we've looked at the proclamation of the angels. We've looked at the proclamation that Simeon made. Now let's look finally at another proclamation made by Anna. Again, in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Who is she? She's, again, sort of like a nobody, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. You can't get more Jewish than that. She had been married 7 years, but has been widowed, and she's now 84 years old. It says she never left the temple, worshiped night and day, praying and fasting. Now, by today's standards, that person would be called a nut. Never left the congregation, never left the temple. You're in there praying and fasting all day long, every day. What kind of a religious fanatic are you? You'd be a nut. We'd have to put him in counseling, right? I mean, for somebody like that. But again, unprecedented, another stranger, not involved in their everyday lives at all. Just an average person, but again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, these other stories that we've read, other birth stories we mentioned, nothing like this ever happens, but in this special case it does. And she has a threefold message too that she proclaims. She gave thanks to God, and she spoke about the child. She started to become a witness already. He hadn't even died yet and borne our sins. She had his blood yet, but she's already witnessing about him. She spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She's already witnessing to the Jewish people. Gentiles weren't looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. They could have cared less. She's a witness to the Jewish people already. This nut hanging out at the temple all day long. But what a blessing. So we've looked at these three proclamations from the different individuals that we looked at. Let's look at this summary chart here. Bruce, we could flip it up there. So what were their messages? The angels, they had joyful news for all people. That in the city of David, a child was going to be born. That it would bring glory to God, and peace and goodwill to men. Simeon, he says, in the face of all people. Similar again to what the angel said, to be for all people. He says, in the face of all people, light to the Gentiles. And for the glory of Israel. And Anna gives, and for the glory of Israel. And Anna gives, and for the glory of Israel. And Anna gives, and for the glory of Israel. And Anna gives thanks to God, and giving glory to God. Spoke of the Messiah as a witness already, and to those who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. What struck me is that these three people are three representatives of God's creation. The angelic host who God created bears witness first of who the Messiah is. Then a man and then a woman of God's creation bringing forth the message and proclaiming the greatness of who this Messiah is. The Apollo 11 moon landing was worldwide news when it happened. Newspapers from around the world proclaimed the incredible accomplishment. This event was really seen as an achievement of mankind, not just the United States. It was like mankind has achieved this incredible feat. And it was celebrated and acknowledged on a worldwide basis. How much more so should the arrival and birth of the Jewish Messiah be celebrated? The kid born in a shed saves the world. How much more so Yeshua celebrated and acknowledged on a worldwide basis? I've said before in other messages that if the Jewish people had really received Yeshua, I think they would have established a time to acknowledge his arrival. They set up Purim, they set up Hanukkah to remember a historical event. Minor holidays about planting trees in Israel, the 9th of Av, the destruction of the temple, Israel itself, Independence Day. I think they would have set up a day to acknowledge the arrival of Messiah. The Christian world has done so, and even the secular world too. And things of the world and traditions have slowly crowded out the true meaning and shifted the emphasis. But true believers are not fooled by these things. They can enjoy certain traditions as a means of celebrating the underlying truth of the coming of the Savior of the world. We've just looked at the promise being proclaimed of his coming by a threefold representation of God's creation, of his angelic hosts, of a man and of a woman. Can we as Messianic Jews fully embrace the world-changing truth of the birth and arrival of the promised Messiah? That's the essence of my message today. The title has been The Promise Proclaimed. My theme has been to challenge us to fully embrace, celebrate, and proclaim the birth of Messiah Yeshua. And we looked at three supernatural proclamations that were instituted by the Spirit, the angels, by Simeon and by Anna. My text reminded us of how privileged we are. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. We have received what's been promised. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. We have received the promise. We have heard and seen what others longed for. Let us also be proclaimers of the promise to our Jewish relatives, friends, and co-workers, and to all we have influence with. I conclude with these words from one tradition of celebrating the Messiah's birth. God bless us, everyone. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you today on this special time of year. We know that no man knows the day Yeshua was actually born. But one day of the 365, he was born. And we know he was born in Bethlehem because there were shepherds abiding in the fields. And we know that he came to fulfill the promise from centuries and centuries, the promise that the Jewish people kept faithfully for all those centuries. And now we are the receivers of that great promise. We are the hearers of that of the word, the seers of who he is. And we are grateful and thankful, Father, that you had mercy upon all of us in this room here today for the time in which we have been born, that we've had the opportunity to know you, have our eyes opened, our ears opened, our hearts opened, our spirits cleansed and purified, to have the Holy Spirit live within us, inspire us, speak to us, use us to be the salt and light in this world that we need to be. Help us to be like Anna, who spoke of you. Increase our boldness, increase our wisdom in knowing how to share with